Bringing you real voices, real issues, and real solutions. You are listening to The Smart Hour online. Your global connection to uncensored, thought-provoking interviews and great conversation about what faces our world today. This is not mainstream media. This is The Smart Hour. Here you go. Your host, Tanisha Smart.
Hello, hello. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Smart Hour tonight. I'm excited about tonight's show because we are going to be doing the audio chapter of Fight of My Life from Naked. Those of you that haven't been following along, I've actually been talking about chapters from my latest book, Naked, because the truth clothes equals lies. And what I've been doing is actually coming on to the Smart Hour to actually go more in depth of what we discussed during the Facebook Live session. So long story short, tonight's chapter is Fight of My Life. We are going to dive right into that. I'm going to read that chapter out to you and pray for those that are facing the things that I faced during that season of my life. So please stay tuned. You do not want to miss this episode.
The Smart Hour, brought to you by Fit, Focused, and Curvy, knowledge for the complete woman, an environment for women to share and grow, offering tips and testimonials on fashion, parenting, cleaning, and much more. Be sure to friend us on Facebook at Fit, Focused, Curvy, follow us on Instagram at Fit, Focused, Curvy, and check out our website at fitfocusedcurvy.com.
Thank you for allowing me to see myself the way you see me. Thank you.
Thank you.
totally.
Finally, I can.
I'll be honest with you. Dedicated to people like me, those that struggle with insecurities, acceptance, and even self-esteem. You never felt good enough, you never felt pretty enough, but imagine God whispering in your ear, letting you know that everything that has happened is now. Every mistake, every failure, it's all gone. Depression, gone. By faith, gone. Low self-esteem, hallelujah, it's gone. It's all gone. All gone. All my scars, all my pain, it's in the past, it's yesterday, it's all gone. What your mother did, what your father did, hallelujah.
For staying tuned to the Smart Hour. That was Imagine Me by Kirk Franklin. We've actually used that tune or that song on another episode of Naked, but I think it's just so actually right on time for this book and the season that I was in my life during some of these seasons in Naked. So again, tonight we are talking about the chapter Fight of My Life. I'm going to go ahead and read this chapter to you, and again, we will pray afterwards. So what came after I revealed what I knew about the adultery was not an easy road. After the initial remorse from my husband, the reverse blame started. We told my son together, and my son initially sided with his dad. The details were not disclosed, so my son saw the event in a skewed way. I was so hurt. I wanted to just leave the house, drive around, and cry my eyes out. As I was going upstairs to throw on some clothes to do just that, I could hear the Holy Spirit say, "Don't leave." He told me to stay in case my son wanted to talk. I needed to be there in the house. It was so hard not to run as fast as I could, jump into the car, and head to the nearest parking lot to cry. I stayed, though, and my son did, in fact, want to talk later that night. As the days went on, we continued to deal with my daughter's hearing issue. I couldn't leave because I was broke due to my business failing, and the pressure was just too much. Here I was, just finding out that my husband had committed the unbearable type of adultery, my daughter had lost hearing in one of her ears, my business failed, and my car's transmission went out while I was driving. One day I was riding in the car, and the car began to roll backwards down the hill. When that happened, I just began to thank God for my new car as I sat in the truck with the guy from AAA. Surely something good would have to come out of this mess at some point. I tried to keep up the front, but sometimes the pain would hit me like a ton of brick, and I would just leave home to get away from it all and just ride around and cry. One night I came home while the children had been with my husband, and I overheard one of them say, "Mom's home." The sigh was as if I ruined everything and that they were happy without me being there. They felt this way because they were young, and in the midst of what was going on, they were appeased with gifts. Not that I would have, but of course I couldn't buy them anything. I was broke. After I heard that comment, my heart ripped. I didn't even go into the living room where they were because the tears were already flowing. I quickly went upstairs to cry. Everything had been switched to me, and it looks to them as if it were my fault. I had to fight hard enough to become resentful towards my husband. It was hard. It felt as if he was turning my children against me. I was looking for an apartment and searching for new business opportunities at the same time. I said, God, this man has cheated on me, and I can't even move out. Like, why is this happening to me? What are you saying? I would do laundry and not wash his clothes. I would then wash his clothes, ball them up, and throw them to the side. I later began to wash his clothes and fold his clothes. By the time I got to the point of washing, folding, and putting his clothes away, God revealed to me that I was ready to move on. I had no idea that God would use this illustration of the way I treated his clothes to reveal the condition of my heart. He let me know that I could not move forward with bitterness in my heart because it would block my blessing. Once my heart was where it needed to be, God worked on my behalf. I got a new business. We went to the car dealership in December of 2010, and I got a brand new 2011 with 13 miles on it. My husband co-signed for it because we were not yet divorced, and I needed a car. I hadn't even filed for the divorce yet. He didn't want to co-sign, but the heart of the king is in God's hands, so he had no choice. I filed for child support that following spring while I was still living in the house so that I could use that as a source of income on apartment applications. He was determined not to let me and the kids live in the house. He would have been contented just sleeping downstairs and I upstairs. He once told me, you can't move out. You just got a new car. He had all the faith that he could at the time, believing that God was going to make me stay. He came home early from work one morning and woke me up, anointing the house, opening the windows and yelling, telling the devil to get out. I was thinking, Negro, if you don't get out of here with all that noise, why are you trying to cast out stuff now? The devil cannot cast out the devil. Get the heck out of here. That's what I was thinking. He would go on my Facebook page and read comments from guys that wonder why I was single when they read my post. The rants would start about how I was his wife and no one was going to get me, so I blocked his behind from my Facebook. It was pretty amusing, to say the least. I had called to inquire about an apartment 6 months earlier but had rejected it because they told me it wouldn't be ready for a few months. I thought to myself, no, that is far too long. I will have moved by then. Nope, that same apartment was my apartment, and when I was ready, it was ready. My daughter's hearing was restored, and she was able to hear well in both of her ears. I was so happy to see light at the end of the tunnel. My son, who was very impressionable, decided to stay with his. I let him. It had been in my spirit to get the extra key to the car as well from my husband because I didn't want him to come in the middle of the night and try to take the car. The day I went to get my final belongings, I asked him for the key. He got so angry and irate about it that I had to call the police. When the police got there, he was still reluctant to give me the key. So instead of giving it to me, he threw the key on the pavement outside as hard as he could to break it. He knew the key would cost $300 to replace because the car was brand new and had a push-button start engine. So he picked up the broken key and gave it to me in front of the police. All they could do was put it in the report. More time passed, and my daughter, who was in the new apartment with me, would have random outbursts of tears saying that she missed her dad and her brother all the time. She was the only princess of color in her class at school, so she would come home crying in first grade because they would tease her about her hair. I'd speak into her and remind her that she was beautiful. I'd remind her that we were a family. My fridge was empty, and I was so tired of my body aching from sleeping on an air mattress because I didn't take any bedroom furniture with me from the house. Still living with his father, my son's grades started to fall, and it started to fail. He began to be teased at school because of his odor, and he had started watching porn at age 13. I told God, I'm going over there to get my baby. When I brought him to live with me, his grades improved, and so did his hygiene. We would talk in the car as we went from place to place, and I recall him implying one day that he had figured it all out. He said, all men cheat. This was his justification for why my ex-husband and I had split. My heart mourned. I didn't want my son to feel that he couldn't be a good and faithful man because of the example that was set before him. I wanted him to know that some men are faithful. It doesn't mean that men or women aren't tempted, but some are faithful. I was faithful to his father. My ex then began asking me to sign over my rights to the ownership of the house. I didn't want to at first. This was our first time owning a home. I mean, this is the house that I had prayed and fasted for. I didn't want to let it go, but he kept pressuring me, so I took it to God in prayer. I got the peace to let my part of the house go. I had to trust that if God had told me to leave it, he would surely replace it with something better. I agreed to sign over whatever he wanted me to sign to release my rights, you know, the rights that I had to the house. Once I did that, he didn't do anything. It's my belief that he just wanted to see if I would do it, perhaps to try to torment me, or had I not given in. I'm not sure. But I got up to pray at about 5 a.m. one morning after that, and I believe the Lord told me to take the money that I had used to reserve a new couch and file for divorce with it. He told me to move quickly. I wanted my couch so bad. We needed the furniture. But I was obedient. I went and canceled the hold I had on the couch to get my money back and went file for divorce. I had to get his signature on the divorce papers. Otherwise, I'd have to wait for us to have been separated 2 years for it to go through. When I got the papers, I was so nervous to take them to him to sign. But he signed them and threw them. A sigh of relief swept over me as I picked the papers up off the ground. I didn't care about having to pick them up as long as they were signed. I had to wait a few months after filing the divorce before it was final, as this was the Pennsylvania law. During that time, I was approached more than once by people at church with a quote-unquote word from the Lord. One person came to me crying after she had read a Facebook post of mine. We had had a conference at church, and a speaker preached a word that blessed me, so I posted about it on Facebook. Because this person thought that she had inside information, she came to me crying, saying that the word was given for her to tell me to go back home. I could tell that she was sincere in her belief that she had heard it from God. She expressed that she would never try to give someone a word, but that she knew it was for me. On another occasion, I went to the altar for prayer. As you can imagine, I needed it. I was on one side of the altar and my ex was on the other side. The two people that prayed for me told me that I needed to pray for my husband. I thought to myself, what in the hell do you think I've been doing for the past 7 years? Just screwing them? I politely pushed all of that confusion to the side and followed what God was telling me to do about my life. When I got the notification in November of 2011 that the divorce was final, I had to go downtown and pick up the certificate of divorce. When I got there, the guy called me by my maiden name, Tanisha Smart, he said. I went to the desk, and he said, look at that smile. I know I wasn't smiling. At least I didn't think I was. I began to ask questions about how to sign my name going forward because I wasn't sure then if I should start using the name Smart. He told me that it would be illegal to use my married name as my last name. He then said, if someone calls you by that last name, tell them that you are no longer afflicted. You have been delivered. I got to the car, and my mouth dropped open in shock as I thought about what he had just said to me. The language he spoke was a kingdom language. People don't just walk around using words like afflicted. I'm convinced that I'd entertained an angel of the Lord. I was empowered and assured that I was on the right path. I had been asking God about moving to Atlanta, and once I got the green light and started to put things in motion, I told my ex. He had always been a great father, so I didn't want to keep him from his children. I told him in February that I was planning to leave in June of that same year when my lease was up. We were in that apartment for only a year. He waited until the end of May to file for custody for the children. I was devastated. This was a new kind of war that I had no experience in fighting. He knew someone that worked town, and they helped him in orchestrating everything on his behalf. With Pennsylvania being a Commonwealth state, I was not allowed to take the children outside of the state while a custody case was open. I only had about 2 weeks before I would have to move out of the apartment and nowhere to go. The apartment in Atlanta was waiting with an expected move-in date. I had already paid my deposit and first month's rent. I didn't know what to do. I went to the first hearing where they told me custody charges had been filed. I mentioned to the judge that I wanted to take the children outside of the state on vacation to Georgia. She told me that I could not do that unless I gave my ex notification that I was going to do that. I didn't know what to do then. I cried out to God. He reminded me of a member at our church whose sister was a judge. She had her sister call me from home. That judge was able to search into files from her home, to see what type of case he had filed and what I could do to get around it. I was determined that I would get a notarized letter stating that I was taking the kids to Georgia on vacation and that I would have it served to him by a mutual friend. I was down to 2 days before my departure, and the old apartment management was reaching out demanding the key. I kept stalling, telling them that I had to clean. The apartment was already empty, and because I was moving from one state to another, God had shown me how to have, you know, companies compete for my business. So I would call them back and forth to tell the other, you know, tell one the other what was charged, and when it came down to time for me to get my U-Haul, and U-Haul won the bidding war. With the extra negotiating days, I was able to take my time with loading the truck and my furniture outside of the apartment in the U-Haul ready to go. The day before I got ready to leave, the first lady of my church contacted me to tell me that there was a warrant out for my arrest. She told me that my ex had told the cops I broke into the house and stole things. I actually still had a key to the house, and since furniture was not in the divorce decree, not even alimony, I went to the house to get things we needed. The house itself was still in my name, and I had every right to go there. I had slept on an air mattress for a whole year and was tired of the physical pain. I pulled the U-Haul up to the old house and got what was ours. After I learned of the warrant, I went to the cops to turn myself in and explain that I was still part owner of the house and that I had a key. They asked me to give them the key and that I had not I was not to return to the house. Legally, I could have fought that, but I just gave him the key. I wanted to be free, and he then had his uncle call me to tell me about how illegal it was to do what I was doing, which was taking the children. You know how some families have a go-to person for different things? Well, this was the go-to person for legal issues, and those issues were that were perceived to be, quote-unquote, out of my league type of issues in his family. I politely told that uncle that he hadn't contacted me in years, so he should not contact me about something that was going on between me and his nephew. This issue was ours to handle, and these were my kids. I can take them where I want to take them. Who in the hell are you, Mr. Uncle, to tell me otherwise? Get the F out of here. By this time, I had gone straight gangster like the old me before I knew Christ. We left for Atlanta as planned, and the following day I could feel the chains falling off as we hit the open road. I was happy and scared at the same time. Sure, I was in the early stages of a custody battle, but I was glad to have this moment of victory. As months passed, I would go to Pittsburgh 3 times that year to fight for custody. Considering the truth that it was already halfway through the year speaks a lot of the amount of stress and mental exhaustion that this had on me. The second time I went there, I thought once again that we would have the final hearing. I still work from home, so I got up at 1 a.m., I slept for about 2 hours, and then I get the kids and get on the highway to take our 14-hour drive to Pittsburgh. My son was too young to drive in, so I had to woman up and push through the whole trip. On Monday morning, when we got to the courthouse, I was 15 minutes late. I wasn't aware that the office was open as early as it was. We also had to go through a security check that followed the same procedure as the airport. So the line extended out the door and around the building that morning. By the time the children and I made it to the atrium, my ex was already there talking to someone on the phone. I went upstairs for the hearing, and the caseworker told me that I was just too late. She said that my ex had already left and that the hearing would have to be rescheduled. I wanted to cry my eyes out right there. I asked if we could reschedule it since I had come from another state. They said they would if my ex would agree to it. They contacted him and asked if he could take off on that Wednesday of the same week for the hearing, and he told them no. He said he didn't have any time to take off work. Now, my ex had been at that job for 13 years and accrued what's called leave time as he worked for the government. He could have taken time off. He just refused to do it. I left that same day, headed back to Atlanta because I didn't have money for a hotel room, and we had nowhere to stay. I cried on the way home. I made a blank trip all the way to Pittsburgh with my babies in the car. I called my friend on the way back and told her that I felt like giving up. I told her I couldn't do it anymore. She spoke into me, and by the time I got home, God had given me my fight back. We arranged another hearing. This was the third trip to Pittsburgh to fight for custody. When we first reached the city of Pittsburgh, I saw a sign that said 100% success. I knew at that moment that God had given me the victory. When we got to the courthouse, my ex was so humbled. I don't know what had happened between that time and the last time, but God worked it out so that there was no drama. We sat down with the judge, worked out the visitation. I was given full custody of my babies. The fight of my life was won by my God. So that is the chapter, Fight of My Life. And my question for you is, are you in a fight? And where do you see yourself on the other side of this fight? If you're in the fight for custody, or if you're in the fight for your marriage, or if you're in the fight because your marriage is over, if you're in the fight because your child is sick, or because your business failed, or because your car failed, or because you're just hurting because of what's happened, I just want to empower you on this episode to keep pressing and keep pushing, because if you hold on to God and really allow him to be God in your life. And I know it's hard, like, because when we're going through stuff, it can be just straight up hard. And even now as I read this chapter and I talk to you about it, I have to look back. This is one of those things where I have to look back and be like, that was only God, because there's no way that I would have made it through all of that. There's no way that I would have had the physical strength to even make it through all of that, the mental strength to make it through all of that without God, you know, to have to deal with not only what's going on the outside, but the internal pain and the internal beating that all of that put on me. And this is, again, not to magnify the storm or even to make myself look like a hero, but it's really to point to God for the glory and to speak to you on the other side of through, so that if you are going through a storm like that, you know and you understand that God is able to bring you out on the other side. There is no way that I could have made it without him. So I just want to pray for you. And I'll speak of the prayer that's in the book and then just pray as God would lead me regarding you and what you're going through and the season of your life. Lord, there are some battles that can seem as though we've lost them before we even begin. There appear to be giants before us. Help us to remember that fighting the battle or fighting the fight of faith doesn't mean that we won't ever doubt. Please help us when those times arise to shift our perspective and to know that you being there for us, you're greater than any attack against us. With you, all things are possible if we just believe. And Lord, I lift up my listeners, my friends, your children, the ones that you care about, and you know everything, every detail that's going on in their lives. I lift up Keisha that was on the Facebook Live today and her situation. God, whatever it is that's going on in her life, God, you know. So I lift these people. I lift your vessels, your jewels, your gifts up to you, Father. And I pray that you would just give them the strength, Father. Give them the strength to, for one, call on your name and to know that, yes, with you all things are possible. And even when we're walking through these moments, again, where it seems like we have lost the battle before it even starts, God, that we would be mindful that you speak to us from the end of a thing, that you already know the end from the beginning. So when we see it, we're walking through our moment in time, but you already know the end. And a lot of times the things that we walk through, those things that we have to go through, those storms that we have to go through, those trials that we go through, are all a part of the expected end that you already see. So we have to go through them. And so right now I just speak strength to those that are going through, strength to them, God, that they will continue, that you will be their one foot in front of the other, God, that you would be their comforter, that you would be their encourager, that you would be their cheerleader, that you would be the one to speak unto them and speak to them in dreams and give them strategy and direction, dear God, that you would put people around them that would speak into their destiny and speak into their strength and not those people that would tear them down. God, I pray that you would block their ears and block their eyes, dear God, from anything, God, that would hinder the plan that you have for their lives, anything that would hinder their faith or hinder their momentum or hinder them moving forward, hinder their vision. God, I pray against those things now in the name of Jesus. I pray against those people now in the name of Jesus. God, that they will be wise enough, God, to not share everything. That they will be wise enough, God, to not share every plan. That they will be wise enough, God, and know what they need to keep and what they need to take to prayer and just talk to you about, God. Let this be a moment, a season, dear God, where they draw closer to you. That they get a chance to see you for who you truly are. You are a lover. You love, God. You are a father. You father, God. You are a comforter through the Holy Spirit. You comfort. You are a protector. Oh, God, you are a keeper. And when there's emotional pain going on the inside and there's a pain and a war going on the outside, there sometimes seems like we would crack under the pressure or that we would burst under the pressure. But God, with you in the middle to guard and to guide and to cover us and to cover them, dear God, I thank you for showing them that they'll come forth as pure gold, that they'll come forth radiant, that they'll come forth out of this thing and to the other side of through, knowing you more and closer to you, God, with another display of your hand and another display of your power and what you're able to do in the earth with a vessel that is willing. So, Father, I speak strength that you would give them the weight in their feet, God. That you would give them the weight in their feet to stand against every galing wind. That even if they're moved or if they're rocked from side to side, God, the weight of faith, the weight of the anointing in their feet to stand will help them so that they are not moved and that they will listen to your every instruction and obey. Because it's one thing to listen, but it's another to listen and obey. So, Father, I pray a spirit of obedience, and I pray a hunger and a thirst for direction from you, and I pray for a hunger and a thirst for truth, and I pray for a hunger and a thirst to just manifest and be exactly who you called them to be in the earth, in the name of Jesus. Thank you for dispatching your holy angels, your warring angels, to war on their behalf. For the one that's listening to this and going through this and facing this, God, I pray for angelic protection. Angelic protection to guard every window and every door, to guard every decision, to take the vision, Lord, that they've written, that vision, Lord, and run with it. God, I pray for angelic assistance in the name of Jesus. Holy angels, ministering angels, warring angels would come and aid this person as they walk through this storm. To get to the other side of through, coming out as pure gold, coming out as closer to God, and coming out with a testimony in the name of Jesus. God, thank you, thank you, thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you, God, for being attentive to this prayer. Thank you, God, that you're able to meet every person where they are. I don't have to know any details. God, you do. Thank you that you're able to meet us where we are, God. Thank you that you're able to speak into us when nobody else has the words. Thank you, God, that you're able to speak to us with the language of dreams, oh, God. And for anybody that you speak to through dreams, God, I pray for the interpretation, and I pray that they would seek out the interpretation to hear the language of God in the way of dreams. Oh, God, thank you. Thank you for comforting. Thank you for leading. Thank you for assuring. Thank you for protecting. Thank you, God, for covering. Thank you, God, for just the love. Thank you, God, for wisdom. Thank you for plans. Thank you for strategy. Thank you, God, for navigating. Thank you for help. God, thank you. Thank you for helping them to be open to understand that you might even use a Judas in their their lives in this season, God, to help them get to where they need to get to. And Father, I pray that they will be open even to the Judas, as they guard their hearts, that they will understand and remember that the heart of the king is in your hand, and you can turn it which way you want. So Father, I pray for wisdom, the wisdom to just be open to whatever you want to do to move them strategically through these seasons in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh God. Oh korakamaha ish ish marakoramaha ish arabaku. Yo ora eko robo soto orando korabashi. Imandoroshi ishorokura andarakorama iadokoramashi. Yoko rebe sitando koroko robo sotoko orabashi. Yendo korabasa tanda raba korabasha. Yandoroshi. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for covering. Thank you for protecting. Thank you for leading. Thank you, Lord, for loving as only you, a loving Father, can. And that they remember that your hand is gentle, and that in the midst of these storms, that they remember that you are for them, that you truly are for them. Because sometimes we can go through some things, oh my God, Jesus, where it seems like you're not for us, God. But if we could just remember when we dig our heels in, that no matter what happens, that you are for us, that you are for us. If we remember that, then we can go on, knowing that we have all of heaven backing what we're doing, all of heaven backing where we're going, all of heaven backing what we're standing on, and that no weapon, no weapon formed against us shall be able to prosper. No weapon, oh God, no weapon shall be able to prosper. God, I thank you. God, I thank you. God, I thank you. I thank you for strengthening them. Thank you for covering them. I thank you for sanity. I thank you for wisdom. I thank you for being you in their lives in this season. Now, please, God, send the help. Send the strategies. Send the protection. Send everything from heaven that's backing us. Send it, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, my friends, thank you so much again for staying tuned. I just want you to be empowered and know that when God is for you, he is more than anything against you. I am a living witness of that, living proof of that. With God before you, he's more than anything that will be sent against you. You can do this, and you can do it with him. That's all I have tonight for the Smart Hour. Make sure you tune in to our next episode where we will again be sharing some wisdom, some truth, and talking about real life issues. Have a great night, everybody.
Been listening to the Smart Hour with Tanisha Smart. Real voices, real issues, and real solutions. Be sure to find and follow us on Instagram at The Smart Hour. Like us on Facebook at The Smart Hour. And tune in right here next week for more. You won't want to miss the time. The Smart Hour will add to your life.